Well, you know what time it is, don't you? It's giddy up time. Praise the Lord. It's time to approach our Father's Word and open up our hearts. And here's the thing about this. Everybody's involved here right now. It's not just me. I mean, you didn't come in to see the Roger show. That's not a good show to watch. You turn it on that channel. That just get off of that channel completely. No, what we're here for is we're here because the Bible tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as we see the day approaching, and much more shall we gather, so that the Lord Himself, by His Spirit, He's here with us today. Did He say He would never leave us nor forsake us? Do you believe that? Okay, if He said, listen, you know, the Bible says we boldly say things because of what He's already said. For example, Hebrews chapter 13 says, the Lord has said, He will never leave me nor forsake me, so that I can boldly say, I will not fear. He has said He would never leave us nor forsake us. Well, we know He's here. He's very much aware. He's always aware. He's always mindful of us. Praise God. He sees this moment. You know, God is omnipresent. Do you believe that God is omnipresent? Yes. Well, if He's omnipresent, then He's omnipresent. What does present mean? It means present means He's here. Now, see, I like what Jesus told Thomas. He said, Thomas, now listen, you believe because you're able to see me in the flesh. You were able to put your finger in my hands and touch my side. You were able to lay hands on me and actually physically hug me, touch me. You know, aren't you looking forward to that day? I mean, that's going to be a wonderful time. But you know what he said? He said it's blessed. Blessed is the man or woman who hasn't seen him with their natural physical eye, but yet they believe. Well, I'll take that. I'll take that blessing. I'll take that blessing. You know why? Because I believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Praise God. And I just thank, I thank God that, listen, guys, listen to me. There's something greater here this morning than ourselves. There's something greater here this morning than yours truly. Even though I'm pretty awesome. No, I'm just messing, Jay. I'm just messing. Listen, there's something greater. What did Paul say? He said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ toward God. In other words, He's our representation. He's our substitute. But the next verse goes on to say, but we are able ministers of this new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is here. Now, we've been teaching and talking for weeks now about the Holy Ghost. Specifically, we've been in 1 Corinthians, in our study of 1 Corinthians on Sunday mornings, and we've been in chapters 12, 13, and 14 for weeks. We just so happened to be in chapter 14 this morning again. And let me encourage you, if you haven't listened to the previous messages, all you have to do is go online, gfcjasper.church. Not KFC. We'll get that here in just a few minutes when we get out of here. But it's GFC. Stands for Grace Family Church. gfcjasper.church. You can go back and listen to these services and things we've talked on. Because I need to pick up and go forward. But it's wonderful how that we get to look at some things in the Word of God and believe at this moment, when I said a while ago we're all in this thing together, we can all believe that God will speak things to us and reveal things to our heart. You know, I was thinking about this morning before I come to church. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you. You know, Jesus asked Peter a question once. He said, Peter, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's King James. Let me put it to you just the way we would say it. Peter, what are people saying about me? What's the talk out there? What do people think about me? What are they saying? Well, he said, well, some people say you're Elijah. Some people say, you know, you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He cut through all that and he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Let me say it to you like this. Who do you say Jesus is to you? Because Jesus went on to say this. He said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me say it to you like this. What you say about Jesus when it comes to you, who is Jesus to you? What do you say about him concerning you? Do you say that by his stripes you are healed? Is that who you say about what Jesus is to you? Or do you say something else? I mean, that's just one area. He said, who do you say that I am? Because what you say that I am to you, that's the very thing that I'll build my church on. Listen, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you when you begin to say and declare who Jesus truly is to you and what he's done for you. Because when he stopped right there and said, hey, listen, this is what I'm going to build my church upon, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you when you operate like this. But you got to know who he is to you and what he's done for you. But who do you say that he is to you? He's my shepherd. Yes, yes, yes. Most times sheep don't have enough sense to get in and out of the rain, do they? I'm talking about the animal, the sheep itself. They're pretty, you know, they're not too sharp. But you know what? They usually have a shepherd out there with them. And you know what? He takes care of them. He makes sure. You know, we have a great, wonderful, loving shepherd. His name is Jesus. He's the good shepherd. I tell you something else. He, out of his own mouth, told me and you that he would send, he would ask the Father, and the Holy Spirit would come to us. And when he would come to us, he would show us things and show us Jesus and show us the Father. And literally, he told the disciples, he said, listen, I'm coming to you in the person of the Holy Ghost, but I am coming, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming to you. Last three words out of his mouth before he went to the garden, he said, I in them. I. He's talking about himself. Paul said, it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives within me. Christ means the anointed one, talking about himself, and his anointing that Lee referred to earlier. Listen, when we gather here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The life that we live now, we gather here, but the life that we live now in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. It's Christ that lives in us, folks. The greater one is in us today. Who are we looking to? Who are we expecting to receive from? From the flesh? From just a person? No. 1,000 times no. Now, are you ready? You ready? Let's get into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is a chapter. Let me just go ahead and set it up for a few minutes. This is a chapter where there's been much confusion because Paul has to address this church here because there has been some misuse, or we'd say abuse or misuse, of speaking in tongues. Now, we're going to talk about speaking in tongues this morning, but when you say speaking in tongues, I know sometimes people get uneasy when you say speaking in tongues. Really, the scripture says speaking in an unknown tongue. The word unknown is italicized, but the only reason it's unknown is because the one who's doing the speaking, it's unknown, or the language is unknown to the person speaking, but it's not a language that is not unknown. For example, we're going to see here when a person speaks in tongues, he don't speak to men, he speaks unto God. Well, you may not understand what you're saying or the language that you're speaking, but God does. It's not unknown to God. You know, I was in Atlanta yesterday. And we went into a large mall in Atlanta. And, of course, the international city that Atlanta is. I mean, there's a lot of people in Atlanta, folks. And we were there, and is in that mall, maybe an hour, hour and a half or so, probably a little more, keeping up with time. But I can't tell you how many people that I heard speaking in different languages that I didn't understand. Well, you know what? I didn't get nervous. I didn't start flipping out. I didn't head for the door just because they were talking in a language and I heard them speaking it. I mean, I didn't understand what they were saying. But I didn't get all weirded out over there in the mall and start flipping out and biting my nails and go, my God, what's going on? And yet, you got people who are ignorant of spiritual things because it hasn't been taught like it should. And yet, there has been misuse of it, which drives people away and causes people to sort of be leery of it. I get all that. I was there at one time in my life. I was not raised up in a Pentecostal church. Or what we call Pentecostal church. So listen. But thank God when I got hungry. You know, Jesus stood up in John chapter 7. We read about Jesus standing up on the last day of the feast. And he cried out. He said, if any man thirst. If he's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly, his innermost being, not talking about just his stomach, but he's talking about his innermost being. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:27 that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Talking about the spirit of man. Jesus said, out of his innermost being, out of his belly, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus not being glorified meant that he had not went to the cross, died on the cross. He hadn't been raised from the dead yet. But after he was raised from the dead, we know that the day of Pentecost came. 50 days after his resurrection, you read about it in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, you'll see in the first chapter that Jesus appeared to his disciples and spent 40 days with them after his resurrection and expounded to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, how would you like to have a 40-day course with Jesus, 40 straight days of him teaching you after his resurrection? Because now things begin to make a little more sense. And he expounded and he explained a lot of things, but he spent 40 days with them. And then he told me, he said, listen, you need to go and wait for the promise, okay? And this, when he spoke this in Acts chapter 1, it was the promise that John talked about, and even John has mentioned, I'm talking about John the Baptist, where John said, Jesus, he said, I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Okay? What we're talking about is what the Bible refers to as the baptism of with the Holy Ghost. Or we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. Okay? They're the same thing. And yet, there has been such misunderstanding about it. But let me say something to you. We don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to shy away from it. We need to be open and receptive for the Lord, by His Word, by His Spirit, in His Word, to show us. You remember I said earlier that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above? Do you know that after Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he stood up and preached and 3,000 people got saved, and he told people, he said, basically, he said, listen, you need to repent and to believe on him and receive your forgiveness and receive, listen, not only your forgiveness, but receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, this is not just to you, but this is to you and your children. We'll see this later. Now, there's many things. Listen to me very carefully. There's many things that we could talk about here. And I have already talked about it. And like I said, in some previous services, you can go back and look at them. But today, I want to cover for the next few minutes, why is it important? What benefit is it? What profit is it? I'm talking about speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. Now, we've already talked about there's three different kinds of tongues that Paul talks about. What we call ministry tongues. There's tongues that are for a sign. And then what we call just devotional tongues. I'm talking about just in your personal life. You know, Paul wrote in here in chapter 14, he said, I would that all of you would speak in tongues. In other words, would means I want all of you to speak. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you do. Yet, when we're in a church service, he said, I'd rather that people be edified and that people be able to understand what's being said and taught and not just everybody speaking in tongues. But we've talked about this. He didn't say you couldn't speak in tongues in a church service or have tongues in interpretation. It's just that they were coming in. They were all gathering and everyone was just speaking in tongues all the time, basically. And there was no ministry of the word or teaching. And people were not being edified. They weren't receiving any revelation or understanding. Now, every now and then, somebody may have a tongue and interpretation, which equals prophecy, and people could be edified by that. But everybody's coming in and speaking in tongues, and people don't know what's being said. There's no interpretation. They don't even know what's being said. You don't get anything out of it. Now, when it comes to your personal life and your personal prayer life, it's totally different.
Amen.
Totally different. And see, it's just like prayer. You know, people basically, some people, I'm not saying all people, but some people just say, you know, prayer, all prayer is prayer. No, it's not. There's different kinds of prayer. You know, it's just like candy bars. I used this as an illustration in children's church years ago. I mean, candy bars are candy bars, but you know there's different kinds. But they're still candy bars. But they're not the same. Not all candy bars are the same. How many Snickers fans we got in here? We got any Snickers fans? Come on now. Listen, I'm a Snickers, but listen, Butterfinger. Listen, I'm a Butterfinger guy. Listen, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
GP, are you with me? We're talking about, we'll go to Sonic now and get us a blast. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? But there's, just like ice creams. When I go to the ice cream shop, I love chocolate ice cream, but I do not like chocolate mint ice cream. That green stuff with the stuff in it. No, thank you. Now, some people like chocolate mint. You know, people treat prayer that way. Listen, I'm going to have to stop because I'm getting over all this stuff. Man, we'll have to dismiss early, really early. But the thing about it is, it's the same way with speaking in tongues. There's different purposes of speaking in tongues. And Paul was trying to explain all this. Listen, I want people to relax and be open. Because I know what it's like when you go in and you're like, so this is, Lord, what's going to go on in here? And I've been in some wild and crazy services before, folks. I have been in some wild, as Paul says, I've seen things that it's unlawful for a man to utter, almost. You know what I mean? I mean, there's things I've seen in services, and we all have. I don't say we all have. I mean, some of us may have not, but I have. I've seen some pretty wild stuff. But you know what? I'm still standing. I could sing an Elton John song here. I'm still standing today. I made it. Will you just open your heart with me this morning and let's go to the Bible and let the Bible talk to us for a few minutes. I tell you what, listen, God loves us so much. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. The Holy Spirit is not tongues and tongues is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit is a person. And He will help us and give us utterance in a language that's not known to our natural mind, or what we would call our regular speech or our regular language. Paul said we can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I'm going to say this again. How much do we know about the tongues of angels? Hardly anything, probably nothing. But you know, people can speak in them. Paul said we could. That's why people are ignorant. Do you see when Paul started in these chapters, starting in 12, 13, 14, he said, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant or unlearned about things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. And right in the middle of it, and we've majored on this, the greatest of this is that everything be done in love and you consider other people. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to look real spiritual. Because what God has given is not to puff us up, but it's to truly edify us and to profit us. He said all of these things, the manifestations of the Spirit, everything that is given is to profit every man. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Praise God. I'm going to read just a few scriptures here, and then we'll go forward. Notice here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit or however, notice this phrase, in the Spirit. In the Spirit means in the Spirit, or I could say it like this, in the Holy Ghost. Do you know the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are the same person?
Yeah.
It's not two different people. So when you say in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost, it's the same, means the same thing. Why? Because we're going to see another reference here just in a minute about praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, it's the same thing as in the Spirit. Okay? Now, he says in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Let's go over here to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Praise God. Else, he goes, I'm going to go ahead and read through verse 18. He says, else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, notice you can bless with the spirit. How shall that he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? You know, I've said this before, and I want to use this for a reference. You can bless with the Spirit. You ever blessed your food? Give thanks for your food? Or say, will you bless the food? You ever heard anybody say that at lunch or dinner? So-and-so, will you bless the food for us or give thanks? Well, you know, you can bless your food. You can bless in tongues, speaking in tongues. And the Bible says right here, you would be doing it very well. But if somebody's unlearned, notice the term unlearned. It's present, they wouldn't get it. So you just pray in your understanding. But if there was three or four of us around and we all were filled with the Spirit, spoke in other tongues, had received our prayer language, if we wanted to, we could all just lift up our voice at the table and pray in tongues over our food and bless our food. And the Bible says we'd be doing it very well. And it'd be nothing wrong with that. But I'm not going out here to the restaurant after church service where people that's unlearned and on, and I'm going to start blessing my food in tongues in front of everybody. People would think I was mad, crazy. And guess what? I would be. You know what I mean by that. I would not be considering other people. All that's going to do is bring confusion to people. Look here, verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well. What do you mean gives thanks well? When you bless with the Spirit, when you bless in tongues. This is God's word. God says you're doing it very well. He says in verse 18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And then he says, but yet in the church, I want to make sure there's certain things that goes on in the church. But at the end of the chapter, once again, he says, listen, I'm telling you, don't forbid speaking in tongues or having tongues and interpretation in your church services. Don't forbid it. It just needs to be done in order and done the right way. Now, let's go back now with the devotional tongue that we want to major in on now. And that's the tongue that benefits us in our private life. Let me ask you a question. Did y'all see me a while ago interrupt when Sean opened the service? Was y'all here when Sean opened the service? And he said a few things before we started singing. Do y'all remember him saying a few things? Did y'all see me interrupt him? Did y'all see me interrupt him? I was just speaking in tongues and got up and interrupted him. No, I didn't interrupt him, but you know I was speaking in tongues. You just didn't hear me. I was praying in tongues when he was talking, but I didn't. Did I confuse anybody? Did anybody think something crazy was going on? No. You know why? Because you can, and you can do it the right way. Well, who was you? What was you doing? The Bible says in verse 2, he that speaks in tongues does not speak unto men. He's talking or speaking to God. I was talking to God. Who was talking to God? My spirit. The Bible says when you speak in tongues, verse 14, your spirit's praying, not your mind. When you pray in your understanding, for example, if I say, Father God, I just thank you today for this day that you've given me. Lord, I thank you for your love and goodness. I thank you for new mercies each and every morning. Father, I thank you for my family. I thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon me. I thank you for this country, this nation. I could go along those lines. You know what? My spirit's not praying. My spirit is not praying. What part of me is praying? My soul, my mind. I'm praying out of my mind. He that speaks in an unknown tongues, he said, when I pray, Paul said in verse 14, when I pray in an unknown tongue, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Do you know you're a three-part being? Yes. Do you know James said that your body without your spirit would be dead? You know, sometimes people only think their body would be dead if something happened to it, like it got some foul disease that wreaked havoc in it and caused certain things to happen in your body. Or if you had an accident, had a trauma, an injury, or you had a car accident or something like that, or fell off a mountain or hit your head and something, all of a sudden that could cause you to die or be dead, your body to be dead. That could be so. Your body can be injured to such an extent that your spirit has to leave your body. But you could be perfectly healed and whole, nothing wrong with you, and if your spirit stepped out of your body, the real you, you would collapse. Your body would collapse in the floor. It would no longer exist without your spirit in it. And there could be nothing wrong with you physically. Are you listening to me? You are a three-part being. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we've already studied this, he said, I keep my body under. He said, I bring it. He called his body an it. He called his real person, he called I, the real me on the inside, I bring it into subjection. The Bible says to be absent from the body, for a believer in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from that body is to be present with the Lord. But if you're not present with the Lord, then you're still in your body. The person that's still in your body, the real you, is the person when you speak in tongues that's doing the praying. I'm talking about your spirit, man. And here's the thing about all this. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. He's one with you, and He knows all things. He knows things that your mind does not know now. Are you listening to me? Verse 2, you need to look at it with your eyes. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. I'm talking about when you're in your personal prayer time, like I said a while ago, I was talking to the Lord from my spirit. Now, when there's ministry tongues, for example, if I spoke in tongues and gave an interpretation, I'm not just talking to God, I'm talking to men. Because I did allow the Spirit of God give me a language which I spoke, but when God gives me the interpretation by the Holy Spirit, then I'm talking to y'all. God's speaking something to the congregation. In other words, God's talking to people. It's not just talking to God. He's talking right here. When you speak in an unknown tongue or you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit's praying, but you're not talking to people. You're communicating with God. You are. Your spirit is. Praise the Lord. Look at the end of that verse. He said, for no man understandeth him, howbeit means however, in the spirit He speaketh mysteries. Here's another thing that happens when a person speaks or prays in tongues in his private devotional prayer life. You pray or you speak out mysteries. One translation says you speak and pray out divine secrets. Secrets. Do you know the Bible tells us over in Chronicles that the secret thing belongs to the Lord? In other words, there's certain things that only He knows. You know that, don't you? But yet, by the Spirit's ability to help us, you know, He's called our helper. The Holy Spirit's called our helper. And I'll give you scriptures here in just a minute that I'll show you. He's our helper. And see, He can help us speak things and speak mysteries and secrets that's not known to the natural mind or to the natural eye or to the natural ear. And yet it has everything to do with your life and your future. Or it can have everything to do with your children's life and their future. Let me just throw some stuff out here. And listen. I was talking with my daughter here recently, and we were talking about some things, and I said, here's the thing about it. A lot of people try to understand God with their mind. They try to figure out God with their mind. You don't figure out God with your mind. You don't understand God with your mind. You get your mind renewed. If you try to reason things out of what we're talking about here, and you just try to figure it out in your mind, it's not going to work. You have to believe with your heart. Once you believe with your heart and you'll go to God from your heart and you'll trust Him with your heart. See, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your understanding is your mind, your mental faculties. You're trying to figure out stuff and reason stuff in your mind. You can't lean to that. You've got to trust with your heart. But once you trust with your heart and you'll trust Him. You remember, what do you mean trust Him? Remember I told you what a good prayer is? Here's a good prayer. Lord, teach me things that I don't know. Lord, everything that is of You, if it's in Your Word and it's for me, I want it. Get me to it somehow. Help me to get to it. Receive it. Help me. Help me. Help me. I covet it. I want it. If it's You, I want all of it. If it's not You, I don't want it. Now, let me tell you something. When you pray that prayer, if you're serious, watch out. But don't pray that prayer if you're not serious. But if you're serious, I promise you, you're going to be introduced to things that you've not known before. And it's not going to flip you out. It's going to cause your heart to rejoice. You're going to fall in love with Jesus so much more than you've ever known to love Him. We're not to lean to our own understanding. And so many people want to try to know God in their mind, and yet you got to let God minister to your spirit, because that's the real you. And your mind has to be totally transformed. You know what transformed mean? You know a caterpillar is transfigured or transformed into a butterfly. Do you know your mind has to be transformed that way? What does that mean? The way you're thinking right now about even spiritual things sometimes, it's got to totally be completely transfigured and transformed. So that you and I, the Bible says, can prove the perfect will of God in our life. Or, let me say it like this, you can get to the place where you're walking in God's highest and best, and you experience things that you never even dreamed you could experience. Do you know there's a scripture in the Bible that says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think? You know what that means? That God can do things that you hasn't even entered your thought pattern yet. You've never had one thought about it ever. And yet God can do certain things you've never thought about, and it's according to the power that works within you. Well, let me tell you, that power on the inside of you, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the ministry of the Spirit. And one way that comes about in our lives, one way is through praying in the Spirit, speaking mysteries and divine secrets that the Holy Spirit helps us with. Let me tell you something. You better get a clue here. I'm not talking about you, but I'm just talking about in general in the world. You know, as a preacher, sometimes people take it real personal and they think I'm taking a dig at them. No, get a clue, and I'm talking to myself here. There's more to the Holy Ghost and to the things of God than we know.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
There's more to experience, folks. And that's not a put down to any of us. The Lord, God did not send Jesus to condemn us. And the Bible tells us, even when we don't understand certain things, the Bible tells us to ask Him about it and ask in faith so that we could receive wisdom and understanding about it. But it says, don't be double-minded about it. And He says, He will not upbraid you or get on to you and say, what's the matter with you? Why don't you understand this? No, He loves us, and He wants to help us, and He wants us to know things. Oh, glory to God. Are you ready? Two things in verse 2 that you get when you speak in tongues. See, Why don't we let... Somebody's having a good time in the other room, aren't they? Somebody's having a wonderful time in the other room. That's good. It's okay.
Wonderful.
Now, sometimes, and this is a little side note, I've been in nurse... children's ministry. I've been in nurseries. I've worked in children's church. And sometimes you can tell when the kids are really winning. And the adults are not. I mean, they are... The adults are losing. You know what I mean? I've been in those situations. But it's okay. He loves children. They're a gift to us. You know that, don't you? You know they have divine purpose on their lives. It's wonderful. They're such a blessing. Because they grow up. And we're to train them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why? So, because they're the salt. They are here for such a time as this. They have divine destiny and plans on their lives. That's another sermon. Okay. All right. Two things here in verse 2. When you speak in tongues, you're not talking to men, you're talking to God. Number 2, when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking secrets and mysteries. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Ready? Let's go to verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The word edify means to build up. Or literally, it means to charge. You ever had a vehicle where the battery was not charged up in it, or became weak, or what we call, you people say this, my battery died. You ever heard people say, my battery died. Down here in the South, say, battery. You know, my battery died. It died. Or it's weak. Well, what does it need? It needs a charge. Another way to say it, scripturally, means your battery needs to be edified. Needs to be edified. Do you know you need to be edified? And when it talks about he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, you know the word himself, you know what that means? It means your total being. Do you know that speaking in tongues can put a charge and edify and build your body up? It can build your soul up. It can edify and charge your spirit man. Matter of fact, let's go right over there. You know that book right before the book of Revelation? You know Revelation. What book is it? Is it at the first of the Bible, the end of the Bible? It's at the end. Everybody knows that. Let's go. Let's go to the book of Jude. It's only got one chapter. Jude 1. It's right after 3 John. Are y'all ready for this? Are you listening? Let's pick up in verse 17. So let's get a little context here. But beloved, so who's he talking to? He's talking to the beloved, talking to believers. Remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, that should walk after their own ungodly lust. You reckon that's happening around today? You reckon there's people that really just... really, when it comes to God and the things of the God, especially the Holy Ghost, You know, I used to mock spiritual things. I'm not proud of it. But I was ignorant. I'd make fun of preachers. I would imitate them. I'd do imitations of them. Isn't that interesting how I would imitate and mock preachers and now I is one? Isn't that sort of humorous, God would do that, Jay, that I would sit around. I'm talking about I'd make fun of them. I'd mock them. Certain ones on television, I'd get around people. Of course, we were under another influence at that time besides the Holy Spirit. But I'd just mock them. I'm not going to, if I did my imitation of them, you'd know one of them who it is. I could get in some serious imitation. But I did it, listen, Paul did things when he persecuted the church, and later on he wrote, he said, I did those things, but he said, I did them ignorantly. I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, you do stuff sometimes you don't know what you're doing. But here's the thing about this. This is a situation where it talks about the last time that people will mock certain things. Well, we're seeing that on an upscale. And he says, verse 19, he says, these be they who separate themselves. Notice God doesn't separate him from them. They separate themselves. See, you need to understand something. The Lord never separates himself from you. If anybody ever separates themselves from God, it's them doing it. Because the Bible says right here, they separate themselves, they're sensual, having not the Spirit. But look at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how are you going to do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember I told you a while ago, pray, howbeit in the Spirit. In the Spirit, or in the Holy Spirit, you pray in the Holy Ghost. Same thing. What happens when you pray in the Spirit? You build up yourselves. Is it in context here? Is it important? Absolutely. In the last days, it's very important for people to pray in the Holy Ghost because it's going to build themselves up. And the next verse says it'll keep yourselves in the love of God. One of the best ways to keep your heart and mind in a place where it needs to be is praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. I can't tell you how it's been a help to my life. It's priceless. You could come to me today and say, Roger, or let me say it like this, knowing what I know now, if you were to come back to me before I prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you come to me and say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $1 million a month, tax-free for the rest of your life, as long as you live on this earth, if you just won't pray in tongues. I'll give you $1 million a month, not a year. A month, tax-free money, for the rest of your life if you won't pray in tongues. Knowing what I know now, I'd look you right straight in the eye and say, you need to leave, and you need to leave now. Get behind me, Satan. You remember Jesus asked Peter the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. You know, we talked about this earlier in the service, and yet Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then about a few verses down, Jesus turns to him and his disciples and says, I got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to go and suffer many things and be crucified and die. And Peter said, oh, no, you can't do that. You don't need to do that. In other words, that experience don't need to happen. And Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan. For you're an offense to me. Peter was not Satan. But what happened was Satan was trying to get Jesus not to go and have that experience. Well, we know why he needed to have that experience. I'm telling you right now, if someone's to offer me that money, back, knowing what I know now back then, $1 million a month tax-free for the rest of my life. You know, there's been many months. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit since 1984. You can do the math. There's several months went by since 1984. We're talking about $1 million a month tax-free. Even right now, I wouldn't even sniff it. Get away from me. Leave me now. Go with me to Isaiah, and we'll close with this one, and then we'll pick up a couple of things next week. I know people say you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. I mean, you can hear things sometimes. People online watching, he wouldn't really do that. If that was really the case, and he would get $1 million a month for the rest of his life, he wouldn't do that. You know what? You know that thought right there that you think that? That's a demonic thought that you just thought right then. That did not come from the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you right now, what's in this word is priceless. It means more than any amount of money. And I can tell you right now, the Holy Spirit would never influence you to have a thought toward me that would say, oh, he wouldn't really ever do that. That's a demonic thought right there. You know, we need to rightly divide what's coming into our mind. We need to take captive every thought, the scripture says, and bring it to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, folks, it matters what you think about. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And here's the thing about this. We're not trying to force anything on anybody. Notice, it's the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. Nobody earns it anyway. It's something that Jesus paid for. But it is a gift, and it has to be received. It's not forced upon anybody, and God doesn't want to force anything on anybody. If he did, he'd force salvation on anybody. He'd force the new birth on people, and we'd all be done and out of here, bless God. But God's not interested in forcing anything on anybody, and I don't want to come across that we're trying to force anything on anybody. And I'm going to say this again. If you don't speak in tongues or have a prayer language, that doesn't mean you're less insignificant. That doesn't mean God doesn't hear your prayers. It doesn't mean you can't pray. It doesn't mean that you're less spiritual than anybody else. What it does mean is that there's something available for you that can help you in a greater capacity in your own personal life. It's like the old commercial. What is it? Was it Adamson or Ford? Beat your best deal regardless. I don't know what that commercial was. It's beat your best deal regardless. Listen, all we're talking about is something that it's the best thing going. Let me tell you something. The greatest prayer that's in this universe right now, and knows all things that even we don't know, is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he knows all things. He searches all things. He knows the minds, the hearts of the spirit. Listen, he knows things that you don't know. He knows things about thoughts that go in other people, that whether it's your husband, your wife, your kids, your boss, your coworker. He knows things that they think that you don't even know they think. And you may know that they think certain things, and you do know certain things like that. I've had Dana look at me sometimes, and we'd be in a situation talking, sort of like a little discussion, you know, Jim, and all of a sudden she'd say, you're wanting to do that. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And yet, it's exactly what I was thinking. But I just, at that moment, didn't want her to give her the satisfaction of her knowing that she was reading my mail. And she knew exactly what I was thinking. I mean, exactly what I was thinking. And it was almost like, wait a minute. I don't like you knowing what I'm thinking. So she said, yeah, you're wanting to do this, aren't you? Or you want to do that? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. She said, yes, you are. I'm like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And then I go, you're right. I mean, I can't stay with that untruth. I would be lying, right? But it's just... it's amazing. You can know what your kids think. You can know what your spouse, people close to you. But let me tell you something. Even your spouse and people that are close to you, there's certain times that they think things you don't know. He does. He's the greatest prayer in the universe, and he lives on the inside of you, and he can help you. Sometimes we call up our prayer buddies. Hey, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? I need you to agree with me. The Bible says we're to do that. Now listen to me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. The Bible tells us to do that. We need, if two or three of you shall touch and agree, we're to pray one for another, the Scripture says. One put 1,000 to flight, two puts how many? 10,000 to flight. Yes, we're to pray. But you know what? Sometimes, here's my point. Sometimes we look to other means and methods. And don't get me wrong, there's times we do that. But what we need to understand, we've got the greatest prayer that there ever was living on the inside of us. It knows all things. Why don't we yield to Him? Why don't we get more acquainted with Him? Where I was going, and time has allowed me to not do that because I do want to stop now. But where we were going were Isaiah chapter 28, where it talks about, here's a place in the Scripture that tells us if you want to get into a place where you're at rest, and when there's weariness, I'm talking about it not just physically, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, this is the rest where the weary can rest with stammering lips and another tongue. Isaiah 28 refers to speaking in tongues, what would take place in the new covenant, what would take place when Jesus was raised from the dead, what would take place when Jesus stood up and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, for out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the Spirit." Let me say something to you. Sometimes you can't get into rest because of certain things, but when you pray in tongues and pray in the Spirit, it's the very thing that will get you there. Just like I said a while ago, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourself in a place of love. See, love never fails. And if you're really in dwelling and loving, living in love, you're dwelling in God, the Scripture says. God's greater than the situation you're dealing with because you're dwelling in God, but God is love. And when you keep yourself in love, you're not upset. You're not falling apart like a $2 watch. There's a rest. There's a peace that sustains you. Well, how does that happen? With stammering lips and another tongue. What are we talking about? We're talking about the benefits of speaking and praying in tongues. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. That's enough.